study and focus on what we need to have in mind this time of year. I think the first thing that comes to mind whenever we consider the three weeks is to just reflect on the way it's structured, in the sense that, of course, it is a manner of avelus that relates to the Churban, but at the same time, it seems to be very much the opposite of what we'd expect. The general notion of avelus that we're used to is formatted, so to speak, in a way where things start in their most intense form, and they slowly become a little lighter and a little more gradually lighter or weaker as time goes on. A person loses a relative, God forbid, they sit Shiva, and then Shloshim and Yud Beis Chodesh, and ultimately the person returns, so to speak, to normal, but it's a gradual process that starts with most intense and little by little, I don't want to say peters out, but evolves. And when we come to this time of year, it's just the opposite. We start in the 3 weeks with the least measure of Avelus, then we move to the 9 days, and then ultimately Tisha B'Av, which really is, essentially, it is like Shiva. Why is it just the opposite? Why is it formatted in that way? So Salvechik explained very simply and very poignantly for us to consider that the difference is when a person, God forbid, loses a relative. So they feel it, and it's real, and the grief is very much part of their consciousness. When we talk about mourning something that happened 2,000 years ago, so it requires us to take time to get our feet wet, to move into that frame of mind, to enter that mood slowly, because otherwise we don't have a chance. If you experience loss, chas v'shalom, so it hits you whether you like it or not. But if we have to try to experience something which isn't really a loss in the classic sense of our experiences, so if we don't prepare for it, if we don't begin with that hachana, then there's no chance that Tisha B'Av is going to be done right. So it really takes a little bit each day. Happens to be the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Arizal. Arizal says you should cry for half an hour each day during the 3 weeks. It's a lot to ask. Of course, it says right in the first page of Shulchan Aruch that the right thing to do is every day to reflect on the Churban. It's a practice of Tikkun Chatzos. Can't all wake up in the middle of the night to do that. But I think Rabbi Avigdor Miller said, for us regular people, it's reasonable to sit on the floor for a minute a day, just to sit and think. Whatever it takes to get us in that frame of mind. So certainly this time of year when it's most intense, for example, some people have a practice of saying Al Naharos Bavel, the Perek of Tehillim, which very graphically talks about the aftermath of the Churban, people exiled to Babylonia, and it's the part of the bencher that everyone ignores. We say Shirim Aleis on the other side of the page, but the truth is Shirim Aleis is really just the B'dieved. I think we've mentioned that before. Because Al Naharos Bavel is so sad, and it would be inappropriate for Shabbos, so we replace it with Shirim Aleis. But nevertheless, Shirim Aleis is the only thing that really remained, and Al Naharos Bavel fell off the map. And really, Al Naharos Bavel is something that every single day, certainly during the 3 weeks, it behooves us to put a little more focus, as I said, onto this topic. So let's just mention a few thoughts. There's an article was published about, it's almost 50 years ago, a little less, but after the Yom Kippur War, the aftermath, 1974, things were not settled, not just in Eretz Yisrael, but really around the world. Things were still fuming in Vietnam, Watergate, Cold War, controversy in the Middle East over oil and whatnot. It was a very tumultuous time the world over. And Gifter commented something very, very interesting. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Pasuk in Yeshaya reads as follows. The pasuk is pretty familiar. Pasuk says, "L'man Tzion lo echasheh, l'man Yerushalayim lo eshkot." I will not be silent about Tzion, and I will continue to call out regarding Yerushalayim. Tzvios for the Geula to come. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says on that pasuk. Listen to this. He says, "Adi abed purkan leTzion." The Hakadosh Baruch Hu speaking. "Adi abed purkan leTzion lo aniach hamamaya." Until there is redemption in Tzion, I will not allow the rest of the world to be at peace. But the icy nechum liyushalayim, until there is consolation in Jerusalem, will ashket l'malkavasa. All other nations, all other governments, will experience the same tumult that Klal Yisrael has to experience. In other words, what this targum is telling us is that whenever world events are in chaos, whenever there's crisis, it's a direct result of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if Klal Yisrael doesn't happen good, if we don't have things peaceful in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, so then it's not fair for the rest of the world to be at ease. Obviously, it doesn't mean that every inch on the globe is going to be undergoing chaos at every moment, but if we maybe there's no Cold War, but you know, there's plenty of other things going on in our world. Open up the newspapers. You know, we just because you know, the war in Ukraine has been going on for you know, for more than a year and a half, doesn't mean that we should just pretend like it doesn't matter. There's still thousands of people dying, and there's people without homes, and cities that have been leveled, and it's no different than many of the other wars that you know, that the world has seen in recent decades. Given the destruction, and every period of time in history, there's going to be that type of chaos, and it's because the Navi says there's chaos in Eretz Yisrael. And it recalls, you know, the Chafetz Chaim made a point of this in different periods of his life when the breakout of the Russo-Japanese War. He wrote that the war is a message to Jews. We may not know what it is telling us, but there's no doubt that we must learn something from it, because Chazal taught us, Ein Purnus Bali Olam El Bishvil Yisrael. Whatever catastrophe strikes the world, it really strikes the world for the sake of Klal Yisrael. He says, by the same token, whenever there's a major catastrophe on earth, an earthquake in Japan, famine in India, bloodbath in Russia, we must always see a divine message to Jews, call for improvement and repentance. This was a theme. There's a famous letter from the Chafetz Chaim along similar lines after there was a great earthquake in Eretz Yisrael during his lifetime, and he tried to bring the world Jewry to be aware of the fact that everything has a takeaway for us. And as long as the world is still shaking from one catastrophe or another, it's for us to reflect upon. And it means that we're encountering the Ribbono Shel Olam through world events. Tisha B'Av is referred to as a moed. Tisha B'Av is referred to as a moed. That's why we don't say Tachanun. One sad day that we don't say Tachanun. Why is it called a moed? Because moed we usually refer to as a time, an appointed time, right? That's usually what moed refers to. But moed also, like the Ol Moed, right? How does the Arash Scroll translate it? The tent of meeting. Where disaster in the world, tragedy in the world is an opportunity when we meet up with his Baruch Hu, when we feel his involvement in a real and tangible way in our lives and in world events. And that's the Tisha B'Av Moed has to have that significance to us as well. Just one or two more points. A very important Svarno in Parshas Noach. He says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the rainbow to Noach, it's kind of ironic, right? What does the rainbow represent? It represents the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy the world, but he's going to hold back, right? So why is he showing it to Noach? Noah was the one who escaped. Noah was in good shape. The sign should be displayed, should be demonstrated to the people who deserve to be destroyed. So he says, and I think the rainbow has profound significance over here. We have to think about, you know, its contemporary implications also. It means that the people who understand the symbols, he was saying to Noah, the people understand what's right in the world, it behooves you. Because there are plenty of people who are going to see the signs, get the messages in world events, and it's just going to go over their head, and it's going to blow right past them. So people who have the sensitivity, who've been taught to have their eyes open and to take in the messages, who have to react to it. We'll just close with the statement of the Rambam. The Rambam really says this very clearly. We didn't get to it the other day on Shavuot Matamos, but I believe it's in the first parak of Hilchos Taneios. He says the reaction we discussed last week of calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lizok, L'Ariya B'Chatzotzros, to blow shofar, to fast, HaKol Tzara Shetabal, Atzibur, any Tzara that comes. He says, Avon lo yizaku, please listen to this. If you do not call out, v'lo yariyom, we don't blow the chatzotzer as we're supposed to, if we don't respond to tragedy the right way, el yom redover zem yimena golam, this is just politics, this is just the way the world is. Irlanu, that's how it occurred, v'tzarezu nikra nikreis, and it's happenstance. Harezu derech achzarius v'gorem islam lidavik maseim aroim. All it does is it entrenches us in the same pattern of behavior. V'sosu v'tzarezu tzarez acheris, and just means there's going to be more tragedy like it. This is the Tocha. Tocha says if you just take it for granted, you assume it's just part of, you know, the way history plays itself out, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to deal with you in the same callous way. The goal is Shetashuvu, to take to heart the messages, and that's what sends us on the pathway towards Tisha B'Av when we sit on the floor and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzadik Hu Hashem Ufiyo Marisi. I'm sitting here on the floor because I got the messages. I just can't wait until Tisha B'Av to get that in our head so that when we're there on Tisha B'Av, it actually has meaning and lasting impact.